I will need loads of volunteers today. And just because you're older, don't think you can't volunteer. All age services are not children's services. They are all age services because we're going to learn together and we're going to have fun exploring together. So please, if you're older than a certain age, just be as keen putting your hand up. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long service. And I remind you, I was a teacher and teachers will wait and stare at people. So I need a volunteer, but the first volunteer I need, that sounds good. Are you any good at counting, Dietrich? Dietrich, come out, please. So, Dietrich, I want you to do me a favour. And actually, as it's you, Dietrich, I'm going to give you this one. I'd like you to read that last reading that Peter read out. And I want you to count up how many times the word spirit is in this passage.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Scan it through. You count them up. Tell me how many times the word spirit comes up. Is that all right? You can turn this one off, John. That's cool. Now, if you think I'm being mean, I am dyslexic. No, I genuinely am dyslexic, and I am quite slow with picking things up. So bear with me. So I'm going to get him to do my hard work and stick with it. It will make sense shortly. Love the concentration. If it was me, I'd be counting out loud, so I'm really quite impressed. Anybody else here like me who, when they read something, reads it out loud at the same time as they read it? I do that all the time. If you ever struggle reading the Bible, read it out loud. You finish, okay? Because then you hear it as well as take it in the other way. How many times?
Seven.
He's spot on. Can you give him a round of applause? Spot on. That's really good. Because actually, depending on who I've got another sheet with the word spirit highlighted in red. But he's done it. He's done it from the genuine article there. He's scanned. Well done, Dietrich. Now, Dietrich, you clearly are really, really good at reading. And you clearly know a lot of things. So can I ask you another favour? Okay, now you don't have to say yes, but, you know, see how you feel about this. Now, I want to ask you, Dietrich, can you teach me everything I need to know about God?
God.
Oh, no, you don't have to start now. You'll be going forever. No, don't worry. It's yes or no. Could you teach me everything I need to know about God, do you think?
Probably.
I like it. He's optimistic. I like it. In which case, you can be my personal guru, which basically means that, Dietrich, could you follow me all the days of my life? So when I go and travel somewhere, could you be with me telling me about God? When I'm preparing for a sermon, because I'm not sure what I'm doing, actually, you can tell me all about God. So do you think your mum will let you sort of move out of your house and be my personal guru all the time?
No.
Oh, that's a shame, because I really do think you know an awful lot about God here, which is really good. Can we give him a round of applause? Dietrich, take a seat, my friend. Okay, I haven't gone mad. Stick with me. You see, actually, the truth is, we need, if you pardon the expression, a personal guru who will teach us all about God. We genuinely do. In our lives, we need someone who is going to tell us all about what it is to be a Christian. All about what I need to know. We need God to help us how to live. You see, the thing is, God doesn't just want you and I to live an ordinary life. He wants us to live an extraordinary life. God wants you and I to live the best life possible, which is honouring, loving God, loving our neighbours, serving other people. But however good any of you are at that, Dietrich's very honest. He couldn't be the personal guru that could give me everything, and none of you could. Even if I had Justin Welby here, bless him, let's hope he recovers quickly from COVID. He couldn't tell me all I need to know. George, you've got the handheld. Who can help me and you know everything there is to know about God? Now, no calling out. Put my teacher voice on. Go on, let's go back to Dietrich first, and then I'm going to get everybody else doing some work.
Jesus.
Yeah, how does Jesus tell us? The clue is in what you just counted.
Seven?
It is seven in our passage.
Seven spirit.
Holy Spirit, absolutely. Well done, Dietrich. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who can help us. And that John 14 passage is awesome. We took it from the contemporary English version because in there it just makes the phrases a little bit easier. And there are six different ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. And the question is, did you pick it up from the passage? And this time your church Bible might not help you. That's why I went for the translation that I did. So I have a magic box. Holy Spirit toolbox. I have sticking out of the box lovely bits of red wool, and on each of the ends there is a number. We are going to go from 1 to 6. We are going to go through each of these 6 ways in which God helps us, and whoever helps me is going to find in the box a strange object. We're then going to have to use a little bit of logic and work out how the strange object applies to the passage. Does that make sense? So there's a bit of lateral thinking here, okay? Kids, it's a case of thinking, how might this object help us to know about the Holy Spirit? So I need volunteer, number one. Let's have someone else. You can be older, you can be younger. Yeah, Maya, come on. You start us off. Now, this is where I hope my string isn't tangled, but you know what it's like when you put things away? Oh, gosh. Maya? I'm going to help you do a bit untangling. What we have to find is item number 1 from the box. So do you want to hold that for me? I'm just going to untangle a few strings. Oh, it's like when you get your lawnmower out, isn't it? Or the Christmas lights. I'll tell you what, if we tug it, we might have a go. Do you want to come round and have a look into the box? I've got your string. Come round. Now, what's it tugging on? Have a look into the box. Can you see? Oh, let me tip that. If I pull this, which is it tugging on? Can you see which is being tugged? So you see that? See that? It's the one on the white string. Can you see the white string?
Yeah.
What does it hold? Can you grab what it's attached to? That's it. Pull, pull, pull. They're heavy. Keep going. They're very heavy. Oh, aren't you a star? Right, bring them around the side. Whoop. They are disgusting too. But they're dry. Okay, you're an absolute star. Stay there for a second. Do you know what these are, Maya?
Shoes.
Yeah, they're special shoes. Do you know what type of special shoes they are? Okay, can anyone help her? George is on the mic. What type of special shoes are these? They were used an awful lot during lockdown.
Walking boots.
They are. Very good indeed. Now, this is where the lateral thinking comes in, okay? I'm going to try and link walking boots to the Holy Spirit. Are you all right to stay there a second? Because I'm going to get you to do something special in a minute. Okay, so why would I wear walking boots? Why would you wear walking boots? Older ones can join in, and I'll be staring at you intently if you don't. Okay? We saw Paddington last night. You'll get a few Paddington stares.
Walking boots will be very useful so that you can go wherever God sends you to proclaim the gospel.
You're very good, because you're actually going nicely lateral. But actually, stick with the walking boots for the minute, Peter. So, nice answer. But don't try linking immediately to God. Why would I wear walking boots and not my shoes or my trainers? Why would I wear walking boots? Anyone?
To protect your feet when you're out walking to go further distance.
Yeah, and what might the ground be like?
Uneven and rough.
Absolutely. I mean, walking boots are brilliant for when the ground is uneven and rough. There's a word in that answer I've put up there that links directly to the Holy Spirit. That's a phrase in there. So walking boots help you to walk on uneven or difficult ground. How does that link to the Holy Spirit? Because it really does. There's a phrase in there which definitely links to the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. Think of names of the Holy Spirit.
Uneven.
Well, the Holy Spirit's very even, but I like the guess. It's good. I think this man over here has got... Do you want to come back to Paul? Come on, Paul. And now I'm going to get to...
The Holy Spirit is the helper.
Yes, one of the big names of the Holy Spirit is the helper. So, Maya, I would like you... We saw a catwalk at the concert last night, didn't we? That's quite interesting on that particular song. So could you walk all the way down to the aisle and back again, holding that as a reminder? We're going to have our own catwalk a la Platinum Jubilee Festival last night. Can you do that for me, Maya? Hold that. Oh, you're a star. Go all the way down. So the Holy Spirit helps us. The brilliant thing about the Holy Spirit is that he will help us. And notice I said he, not it. The Holy Spirit is a person. If ever you ever call the Holy Spirit it, I will correct you. The Holy Spirit is he. He will help you. And he will give you what you need. He is the helper. One of the special names of the Holy Spirit is helper. Aren't you awesome? Thank you so much, Maya. That is brilliant. I'm going to put that up here. You can have a sit down again. Thank you. Can we give her a round of applause? I need help daily. I'm sure you need help. Holy Spirit is our helper. He'll give us what we need, it says in John 14, verse 16. So, remember that first of all. If you're in need of help, when life is hard, call the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Pray for God to guide you. Good. Okay, it is time for another volunteer. Yes, please. There you go. Come on down. Oh, my tangled things. They are going to get easier, these, I hope. Oh, dear. Look at this. I reckon the cat was playing with them. What do you reckon, Gloria? I think the cat's been playing with this. Best laid plans. Okay, now, do you want to hold that a second? And, Dad, can you just... Yeah, do you want to pick her up a little? What we're going to do is, can you give that a tug? Give that a tug, and we'll see what it connects to. Oh, there, you've got it. It's a bit entangled. So... Do you want to open the envelope? Lovely. Take that out. Pull the sheet out. Keep pulling. That's it. Right, you can stand up now. And can you unravel it? And can you show what we've got? Beautiful. Do you want to turn it round? Hold it round. Yep. It's that way. Oh, stand in the middle, Boris. Aren't you good? Come to the front. Now, if you can't see it, the image we've got is that. We've got a heart. I love the way the heart's in the hand here. Now, don't overthink it. It really is meant to be very simple. How is a heart like the Holy Spirit? George, sorry. Up and running. Dietrich, you're a star, but put your hand down, mate. We're going to get the rest of this congregation working. I'll be laying on extra discipleship classes if I don't get through this one, all right? It's a bit worrying. How is a heart like the Holy Spirit? Kind. Keep it simple.
Kind.
Absolutely can be. But think far, far simpler. I'm going way, way simpler. I'm thinking body and anatomy.
It's alive.
Heart is alive, yes, a bit more. Sorry, go back to Randolph at the back, please, George. All true. I'm thinking way, way simpler.
Keeps you going.
Keeps you alive, going. That's true.
That
all
keeps
true.
You going.
I'm even simpler than that. Where's the heart? Where's the heart?
It's love.
What did Sue say there?
Just love.
Heart is love, but I'm getting it called out to me. So does somebody come to Jan here? George? It really is. It's all true. Everything you're saying
it's
is true.
It's within us.
Yeah, I'm really going very simple today. Very, very simple. Because actually we can lose sight of what's said. The heart is found inside us. Jesus lived on earth as a human being. It wasn't possible for him to be with everybody at the same time. That's why Jesus says, when I leave you, you will do greater things. Because with the Holy Spirit lives inside all of us. I'm going to give you another piece of paper. Do you want another piece of paper? Yeah. Can you walk up and down the aisle with that and then bring that one back for me? Can you do that? The Holy Spirit lives inside us. This is completely wacky and out there if you stop and think about it. It's completely wacky and out there. But it's radical. How often do you stop and think that God in the person of the Holy Spirit is within you? It's mind-blowing. If you ever feel alone, you are not. Through the Spirit of God, Jesus lives within us. Prompts us to do things God's way, to follow the example of Jesus. It's the most awesome thing. Thank you so much. Can we give a round of applause? Awesome. Helps us, lives inside us. Next volunteer, please, number 3. Anyone want to go? I know you're keen, Dietrich. Anyone else? Oh, you would have come to it. Excellent. All right, we're going to have some fun here. So that one's still attached, rather annoyingly. So we'll keep going. Oh, right. What I want you to do is tug that and see what starts to come out, because that's the best. No. You have to tug 3. We're not there at the other. Pull hard. Oh, there you go. Look, you got another envelope. Okay. Let me grab that one for you. Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do is open the envelope, see what you find. Keep going. Nice. Do you want to turn it around so everyone can see? Now, this one's quite hard, and I recognise it's hard because not everybody's experience of life is like this. These are a pair of wedding rings. They're a pair of wedding rings, and I recognise that might be painful for some of you today, but bear with me. It's a pair of wedding rings. Now, how might wedding rings symbolise something for us, which links to the Holy Spirit? If you think about wedding rings, and if you think about what is said when the wedding rings are put on, how might wedding rings link to the Holy Spirit? What are wedding rings a symbol of? Go for it.
The joining of two people.
Okay, joy of two people is good. All correct answers. Let's keep going. Let's keep exploring.
Promises.
Promises, yes. Stick with that one a second, Angela. You're absolutely right. Promises. Think of some of the promises that are made, which might link to the Holy Spirit. She's spot on. It's promises. Promises to be what?
Never leave you.
Never leave you. That'll do me. It's a symbol of faithfulness. And you picked up exactly the phrase I'm after. Exactly the phrase. In verse 16, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit wouldn't just come and visit you occasionally, you know, once in a blue moon, or when it was a bank holiday weekend and you'd got a bit of spare time. The promise is that the Holy Spirit is always with us. Then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. Oh, you know what's going on now. Can I get you to do a swap? You star. Can you walk down the aisle? Always be with you. It's a promise. Do you want to take that down for us? Cheers, Max. And I've deliberately put the two sets of footprints up the beach. That poem is so well known. But actually remember it. Okay? The Holy Spirit isn't just there on the day when you're being really good and feel nice and spiritual. The Holy Spirit is also there when you're having an awful day and you've messed it all up. And that's really important. You are a star. Can you give him a round of applause, please? We might be highly unfaithful, but God keeps his promises. He's always there. He never leaves you. Okay, we're getting towards the end. We need some more, though. Another volunteer. Go on, Dietrich. I know you're desperate. Come on. Okay, I'm afraid this is so entangled. I should have untangled this before, shouldn't I? I'm looking for number four. Oh, you found it. Right, give number four a tug. Oh, here it comes. Can you just reach? That's it? Yeah? Okay, just hold it up. Okay. Nice. So what we have here is an OS map. You see, I'm being very PC. Although it does say Crawley and Horsham, so you'll have to accept it's the other way around. So here is a map. Really nice map. Okay, I'm not going to unfold it because I always find refolding them is a pain. And my wife's not here. She did work for a long time actually selling maps before we got married. Untold skill. So she can fold maps brilliantly. She can read them well too. So there you go. A map. Now how is a map like the Holy Spirit? This is probably an easier question. Okay, I reckon Helen there's on the way. Let's go for Helen. Definitely a hand from Helen there.
I went for the easy one. He guides us.
Yeah. Shows you the right way to go. Now, of course, you're going to be able to read maps. But the beauty with the Holy Spirit is actually the Holy Spirit will just prompt us. I don't know whether you've had experiences where you've been doing something and you've just got that nudge. Go and do this. Go and speak to that person. You need to do that now. You need to phone your mother. Had that before. You need to do this. Something incredible. Go back to the passage. Jesus says, John 14:17, the Spirit will show you what is true, what is right, what is the right thing to do. Brilliant. Put that one down, Dietrich. Can you walk down with that? You see, the thing about a map is correct. If you walk down and back on our catwalk in here, think about a map is correct. It's spot on. You might not follow it. That's your fault. But the map is correct. The map is true. The Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth, it says elsewhere in Scripture. We need to know truth. When so many of our leaders spout lies, sorry if I'm slightly political, but they do, we need to know truth. God is true. God is love. He is perfect love. He is always true. And it's important that we know truth. We can find ultimate truth from God. Dietrich, you're a star. Thank you so much. Take a seat. Two more to go. Need another volunteer, please. Ian, do you want to be my volunteer? You lovely man.
The older children.
The older children. Hey, we're always a big child. I'm really sorry. This is a terrible mess. Pull up. Let's see what goes. Just keep... Yeah, you've got that. Yeah, you've got that one. Thank you, Gloria, for volunteering this. Yeah, you can pull it off if you wish. I don't mind. Just drag it out the box.
I don't understand that.
Oh, a textbook. Wouldn't you like to be studying this? This is AQA A-level philosophy for first and second year students of epistemology and moral philosophy. Wow. Oh, does my head in to start with. Well done, Gloria, for studying that. Okay, so we have a textbook. So here's your question. How is a textbook like the Holy Spirit? Sorry, it really is going in a particular level. Think what a textbook is designed to do. If you have a textbook, what is it meant to do? Yeah, go on, Joe's bursting over the head.
It teaches you.
It teaches you, and it teaches you...
about the Father and Jesus, but a
textbook, it textbook will teach you...
the facts.
Yep, and the textbook should always have within it...
words.
You are so, so close. Anybody want to finish it off? You know, a textbook that's a good textbook is a good textbook because it's got...
truth.
It's got truth and it's got... it's got everything it needs. Sorry, Joe. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He'll teach you all things. All that you need to know. You see, I sometimes come across people who said, oh, I've just read about these other books that aren't in the Bible. That's interesting. If this is any good. Or I've read this book that somebody written that's a critique about. It's like, no, all you need to know is within the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will help us and will teach us. We don't need to go looking for alternative sources of information. That's where, as Christians, we get into big, big trouble. Do you want to put that one down? And I'm going to give you something. You always wanted to be on the catwalk, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bless you. Go for it, Ian. You've always wanted to do it. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand the Bible. Now, if there's bits of the Bible you don't understand, don't worry about it. There are bits of the Bible I find very difficult. My Bible reading notes for most of this last month has been Revelation. Beasts and dragons and... yeah, if you understand all that, please tell me. I enjoyed my Bible reading notes and they helped me understand a bit more, but I really don't truly understand large bits of it. I'm really not that worried. But the Holy Spirit, thank you, bless you. Give me a round of applause. But the Holy Spirit can teach us things that we've never seen before. Whenever you read your Bible, before you do, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what's going on today. If you've never done it, and you're thinking, oh, I'm reading that again, I've read 20 million times, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see things you've never seen. It is amazing. I recently preached again on the Good Samaritan. I hate to think how many times I preached on the Good Samaritan. And I saw things I'd never seen. Keep asking God. Keep asking God. Last one. I need a final volunteer. No, bless you. No, but I might get you to help me with the last thing in a minute. Is there another volunteer? Older volunteers are very welcome. Come on, Peter. Good man. There is only one thing left in the box. Trust me that number 6 pulls on it. But it's such a mess, let's not go there. Do you want to get the last thing out of the box? What's the final thing in the box? And you can hold it up. Oh, don't worry about it. Just hold it up, Peter. What is it, Peter?
It's a diary.
Yeah, it's my really exciting looking church diary. Didn't make much use of the one which said 2020 on it. But the 2022 one's getting busier. Now, this is again a bit of a sideways thing. In the contemporary English version, there's a lovely phrase about what the Holy Spirit does, which links beautifully to a diary. Now, many of you won't have paper diaries anymore. You'll have electronic diaries. But what's the purpose of a diary fundamentally? What's the purpose? You know, when you reach my age, I need a diary. When I was young, I thought I didn't need one. Why do you need a diary? Go on, Caroline.
So you can plan ahead.
That's one of the things, but that wasn't what I was thinking. Planning ahead is definitely important. You're absolutely right. It's not what I was thinking. My age, I get in serious trouble without one.
Help you remember.
Yeah. For me, it's a memory jogging thing. The number of times I've been sat at my desk at the computer and something suddenly goes ping and it's like, oh gosh, I'm meant to be opening the church for someone in Corbin half time. And then I can happily trot out of the house and be ready to do it. If it wasn't there, I'd just forget everything. There was a time when I was young when I arrogantly said to someone who was a spiritual mentor, I can remember it all. Well, as a probably young 20-year-old, I could, until they picked me up when I forgot a meeting with them. Which just proves the point. A diary reminds us when to do things. And Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. We've had that. And will remind you of everything. Love that. Will remind you of everything I've said to you. I just love that. That phrase is fairly unique within the CV. Peter, are you happy to go on a catwalk? You lovely man. Pop my diary down and you can go down with reminds you of what Jesus said. Go on, take it down and back. Thank you so much. This is crucial. Sometimes we can be in conversations with people, they can ask us things and we can be really lost. Ever said one of those arrow prayers? Can you just remind me of something that might help here? Ever had that moment? And then the Spirit reminds you of something in a psalm or directs you in scripture or just flicks it. I might be reading a passage in the Bible. Thank you, Peter. Could you pop it on the table? Can we give Peter a round of applause? Thank you, Peter. And there are times I'm reading the Bible and it's like, oh, that reminds me of something. And the Spirit will prompt me. It's like, oh yeah, that links to that. It's a really important thing, being reminded of the things of God. Right. So, this is what we've got today. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is always with you. He helps you and I to live the right way. He shows us the right way to go. He guides us. He teaches us what we need to know about God. He reminds us of God's love and Jesus' teaching. That's awesome. The church would be lost without the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But what effect should the Spirit have upon us? Gloria, can I borrow you a sec? Do you want to pick up that bowl? Pick up the bowl, please. Just hold it somewhere out here. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, there was a growing excitement within the disciples. And the excitement was such that there was an anticipation. There was an anticipation that something big was going to happen. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until power comes on high. So they waited and they waited and they waited. Ooh, looks good. They waited and they waited. And on the day of Pentecost, the bubble burst. But the thing about the day of Pentecost, which is why that first reading is so crucial, is that it didn't stay contained. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in you is something to go splurge everywhere. I'd love to do this with a Moe and Chandon and do my Lewis Hamilton impression. But I'm not. But the point is, Peter came out and he was so excited. Gosh, this is really dangerous, isn't it? Don't know what's going to happen now. He was so excited that literally out they came and it exploded. That's all right.
Anticlimactic.
Oh gosh, I haven't even got the thing open yet. Okay, it is still. Let me just show you this. It is still pouring out. The pressure is huge. I haven't even got the lid off. Now, actually, the point about the Holy Spirit. The point about the Spirit is the Spirit was given to flow out, to pour out, go everywhere. Bit of a stage now. We are. But are we bold enough? Thank you so much, Gloria. Bless you. Gloria is one of our unsung cleaners, so thank you. No, seriously, she is. So thank you, Gloria. You're an absolute star. Don't contain the Spirit. When the Spirit moves in you, let him move you. It's meant to go splurge. Okay? That's how the church expanded. Western church, we nicely contract. And it will stay nicely within the walls of the building. I want it to go out and splurge. I want you to live lives which splurge. I want you to live lives that affect others. We all need to do it. We all need to do it. They broke out of that room. And people went on that day of Pentecost back to their lands all over the known land. The good news burst out of them. Does it burst out of you? I pray it does. And a final thought for you. Just taking a slightly sideways go. Let's just finish with Her Majesty. This Platinum Jubilee is a one-off occasion we'll never ever see again, and I doubt in history we'll be seen again. The circumstances by which she came to the throne were so unusual. But for 70 years, this lady has faithfully served as our monarch. She has been wise. I wish we had wise leaders elsewhere in Parliament. She's been compassionate for others. I wish sometimes we had compassionate leadership in Parliament as opposed to port people to Rwanda. She's worked hard. She's never trumpeted who she is. She works hard behind the scenes. She's dedicated. But all the time she's been faithful to the promises she made at her coronation when she ascended to the throne. But make no mistake, her faith is at the center of who she is. And that's another reason why I suspect we may not see the likes of the Queen for quite some time. Because the bottom line is who has helped and guided her? There was an amazing thing before the service at St. Paul's where there was an interview, or maybe it was after, I didn't see it at the time, with the former Archbishop of York, John Centimer, who asked the Queen to pray for him. Did anyone see that? And he said the Queen didn't say anything. She just was there in silence for about 5 minutes, and at the end said amen. And John Centimer, who's a highly spiritual man, said he felt he was in the presence of someone who was holy, was his word. Holy. Spirit is who has guided and led the Queen. And she's humble enough to know that. It must have galled her immensely not to be there on Friday. My friends, don't ever think we can manage without the Holy Spirit. We need him. He's vital for us. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you that you gave the Spirit that we might live extraordinary lives for you. Not ordinary lives, but extraordinary lives. Faithful lives, truthful lives. Pray, Lord, we wouldn't quench the Spirit, but I pray that we would live in the power of the Spirit. May we be people who, when we leave here this day, burst out of here and your love bursts out of us. Amen. Music group, do you want to come out? There is opportunity for you to be prayed for today. I stress and stress and stress the people who get prayed for are not the weak people. They're the strong people because they know whose help they need. If you need prayer today, go seek it. There'll be prayer at the front, prayer at the back. But this song, There Must Be More Than This, is perfect. I want more of the Spirit. I need more of God. Do you? If you have that hunger, cry out for more of God. Stand and worship, and if you need prayer, go seek it. Thank you.